Good morning. In our home, we have a cuckoo clock. Really cool, made in Germany in the Black Forest. But I'm not sure where it has spent more time, in our living room or in the repair shop. The cost of the repairs, I think, has overshadowed the original cost of the clock by now. It makes you wonder why we keep taking it in. Perhaps we're a little bit cuckoo. We had our piano tuned last week, and it sounds fine, but it doesn't sound the way it did the day it was tuned, just last week. You know, when the professional walked out the door, it was perfect. But now already you can tell it's lost a little bit already. It doesn't take long. What do a cuckoo clock and a piano have in common? Well, for one thing, they have a lot of moving parts. Moving parts tend to break down. Just go to a small engine dealer or a repair shop for small engines, and you'll find out that small engines can cause big headaches. You'll see piles of chainsaws and weed whackers. You'll see lineups of lawnmowers and snow blowers, all examples of little engines that couldn't. When man tries to fix something, he has problems. It's not easy, and his success is somewhat limited because the item will probably break down again, sometimes very soon. Man's fix is just temporary, or partial, or sometimes not a fix at all. When God fixes something, on the other hand, it's fixed very well. His first miracle involved the fixing of a little problem of too little wine. And he did so by providing excellent, superior wine. You remember what the master of the feast said, "You have kept the good wine until now," from John chapter 2. When he raised the 12-year-old girl from the dead, she wasn't still groggy or a little bit under the weather. Jesus said that something should be given her to eat in Mark chapter 5. I mean, this girl was immediately perfectly well. I mean, she was hungry, completely back to normal. I like the very short story. It only takes up a couple verses in the book of Luke chapter 4. But it's a really quick little snippet of when Jesus healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. She was really sick with a high fever. But Jesus took her by the hand and caused the fever to leave her. And what did she do? She immediately got up and served a meal to her visitors. I mean, she was back to normal right away, and nobody was going to keep her out of her kitchen. And then there's the story from Acts chapter 4 of the lame man, the man who was born crippled. And his feet and ankles were supposed to be moving parts, but they weren't moving. But when he was healed, it didn't take long for this man to learn how to walk right away the first day. And he began walking and even leaping and praising God. Other stories include, you know, the paralyzed man who was lowered through the roof into the house. And then he walked out of the house under his own power and carried his bed with him. And then there's the deaf man with a speech impediment who now could hear perfectly well and see clearly. Or the young man from Nain. Or Lazarus. When Jesus heals, it isn't halfway. Knowing his power, we can assume that those 10 lepers did not contract leprosy the week after this. Or that Malchus did not have permanent hearing loss when Jesus restored his ear after Peter lopped it off for him. Or we can assume that when Bartimaeus was healed of his blindness, he didn't have eyesight problems soon afterward. We can assume that when Jesus cast out demons, they were gone for good. When Jesus fixes something, he does it right. But as amazing as these examples are, he did not come to this earth to repair our bodies for this life. Because of sin, our bodies will eventually wear out. We feel the effects of aging, and then we die. But Jesus has something in place for us. Our bodies will no longer call for routine maintenance like some photocopier on a service plan. His plan is called eternal life. And for that, He had to fix us spiritually. And He did it all with His grace, giving us the love that we don't deserve, but that we need desperately. He is our shield and our portion in this life, and will be our exceeding great reward when He calls us home. His purpose for us on this earth is to spread the news of the kingdom to others. Sometimes we make excuses. We seem crippled or disabled to do His work effectively. Even Jesus' 12 disciples who were with Him every day had moments of weakness, didn't they? They were downright lame at times, denying Him, betraying Him, falling asleep when they should have been praying with Him. But they finally understood His purpose completely when the Holy Spirit repaired them and cured them of their spiritual paralysis. And then they went out and boldly proclaimed the risen Christ to any and all who would listen, even if forbidden to do so by the authorities. And many were saved. The disciples were no longer disabled, but rather enabled, right up until they were martyred for their sermons and given their heavenly reward. We too should be bold in our praise to our Savior and our praise of our Savior. After all, we were blind, disabled, clueless, hopeless. But now we have the truth, and the truth has set us free. So the next time your cell phone conks out, or your computer, or your car, or you wonder why our roads are so messed up, remember that man has a hard time keeping up with repairs. But God has a spiritual maintenance plan for you that will see you safely through this life, and His grace will lead you home. Amen. Let's close with the three stanzas on the screen.